Hi, I'm James Woosley, author of Conquer the Entrepreneur's Kryptonite. In October of 2013, I sat down with my friend and mentor, Chuck Bowen, at his home in San Antonio to talk about entrepreneurs, business, and life. If you would like to know more or have any questions, visit woosleycoaching.com or email james@woosleycoaching.com. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
Chuck, how you doing?
James, I'm doing great. It's always lovely to have you visit together. I mean, we go a ways back now.
Absolutely. Years now. I haven't been to San Antonio here since 18 years. So it's good to be back in Texas.
Kicking back in the house here and watching our dogs walking around in the backyard, enjoying the day and talking about you guys, talking about entrepreneurs, talking about living the dream everybody talks about and the reality of making that happen. Not just looking back when you're 70 years old and say, gosh, if I just had done this, what would my life have been like?
Absolutely. And so in the book, you know, I really define the conquering the entrepreneur's kryptonite. That kryptonite is planning in large part. And there's all kinds of other little kryptonites that can take us down in trying to build or grow or run a business, mm-hmm. or even just accomplish a dream. Yes. In our life. It doesn't even have to be business. It can certainly apply to our regular lives as well. But some level of planning gives us a level of intention that starts to make things happen. And so how did this come about for you, this process, the SSP, the Simple Strategic Plan?
Well, you know, I had the whole corporate year, the whole 20-year corporate thing going on. And, of course, we were forced to plan. You know, every year. And, you know, it was traditional and, you know, it was draining and time consuming. We were forced to plan because you had to have the entire organization kind of wrapped around and moving forward in the right direction. So without that, you know, you can't just have that in your head and expect everybody to read your mind. So when I moved into coaching and I started working with small business owners, I realized that that problem also plagued them, maybe in a different way or in a smaller way, but it plagued them once they got past, you know, a handful of people that could understand and read their mind. It was a big reason why all the arrows weren't moving in the right direction, all the arrows being what people individually thought they should or wanted to do in the business. So what I started realizing was that was happening, but also what was happening was that the traditional ways of thinking about it just didn't work for small business owners. They were sort of repelled by that, like magnets, or in this case, you know, Superman to kryptonite. You know, it was the most draining thing they could think of. And since they were the owner of the business, they could think of a number of ways not to need or have to go do that. They just simply avoided it. They spent their time on other things. But the reality of the outcome, or the lack of an outcome of that, still was there. People weren't aligned. They didn't know what they needed to be doing. They didn't understand that what they were doing was or was not helping to deliver on the business mission, you know, that at the end of the day was to make a profit.
Or even if a solo business, that solo entrepreneur would have massive gaps because they just wouldn't want to do those things are essential.
And the ups and downs that went with that, you know, you're at the mercy of your emotions. Today's a great day because I had a great sale or whatever, and tomorrow it wasn't, and you know, you didn't know how to stop doing what was, you know, holding back your results. And you didn't know how to repeat the things that were giving you what you really wanted because all of it existed was in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned about teams. And yeah, these bigger organizations who are well established, whether they're doing planning well or poorly, they're doing some level of planning. It's already been there. But in a small organization where maybe they haven't done a lot of planning, it's grown from, you know, from the ground up, mm-hmm. you know, with that dedicated owner, this driving force and that passion. Passion can take you pretty far, but eventually cracks start to show. And if you build a team around that passion, the plan actually becomes your primary communication tool. You can transmit that passion to other people using that plan and get everybody on the same page, or ask people to leave if they're not going to be on that page.
Exactly. You have to have a page to get on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have something I say is that, you know, you have no chance about turning your business, a successful business, into reality if you can't put it on paper. So if you can't make it work on paper, you got no chance. But if you can't make it work on paper, you're way down the road. Now, another way of saying that is the stats we've heard that 97% of people don't plan. The 3% that do, you know, outperform those 97% that don't. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. But if you don't have it on paper, there is no page to get everyone on, because otherwise you're just left to reading each other's minds. And that's one of the most frustrating things to do, is to try to read the mind of the owner and understand what it is they want, and did we achieve it? You've got to get everybody playing just like an orchestra on the same sheet of music, or it sounds horrible. It just doesn't work, and nobody will come to hear it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about this overcoming our kryptonite. The natural tendency, you said earlier, the natural tendency of people is to self-destruct.
Yeah.
Go more into that, and how you see that, and the, is the plan the cover we put over our self-destruct button?
Yeah. I mean, busy is the kryptonite, or busy is the opponent, or, you know, psycho opposite of the productive. I mean, literally, busy, staying busy with things will cause you to self-destruct faster than anything, I think, as an entrepreneur. Therefore, planning is the kryptonite, because if most business owners simply want to stay busy, and they will, I mean, think about it. You go into a restaurant. If we could just get more people in, if we're busy, well, how much are you making? Well, I don't know. You know, or look at all the people that are coming to my free seminars. Well, how many of them are engaging you with clients? Or how many hits on a website? Hits on a website is being busy. You can drive millions of people to your website, but if you can't convert them to anything, what have you gained? Okay, you just have traffic. So the kryptonite to that, I think, is planning, because most people avoid planning because they'd rather be busy rather than being productive. Now, at the end of the day, everybody wants money in their bank, right? But at the end of the day, how many people do you know gauge themselves on how well their day went based on being busy or being profitable, being productive? If you use planning, you can begin to put more energy and continue doing the things that give you the result that you want. And at the end of the day, for a business, it boils down to one thing. What did I deposit in my bank account? Because through that, you pay salaries and you do R&D and you go out there and, you know, whatever you're going to go do in your business, it takes money to go make that happen. Well, and that's a hobby.
And, right? Well, and that's what funds your life and your dreams and the things that you want to have an impact on.
It changes
on.
The world.
Absolutely.
I mean, God created money for that purpose.
Right. This busyness, though, I think it's embedded in our culture, that people are proud to work 60, 80 hours a week, and you know, even the concept of an hourly wage feeds into that. So you can sit there at your desk and at your job for 8, 10, 12 hours a day and get paid that hourly wage.
Paid for business.
But what did you do? What did you accomplish? And if somebody can accomplish and go in and do that same job in an hour, is it still worth the same as far as the end result? It should be.
Mm-hmm.
But so often we discount if somebody can do something quickly.
It is. I mean, busy is the enemy on most everything we can do, because busy in and of itself just says, I took this much time up and I had something I was doing during the entire time. You know, we can expand our activities to fit within.
Hamster on the wheel. Yeah.
Absolutely. Every time we want to go do that. So the real antidote to that is planning. The real antidote to being busy is planning, because you'll see on paper whether what you're doing is really getting you where you want to be. And is it focused? Is your activity focused on the things that deliver your dream? You know, that's the purpose of planning. And I don't know any way to do it other than to put it on paper. And so the way the SSP was developed was that I knew for most people to embrace it, it could not be complicated. It had to be simple. It had to be simple and had to be thoughtful. Hence the word strategic means thoughtful, purposeful.
Right. And that's one of the things that attracted to me when I first, you know, met you and heard about the SSP is this idea of simplifying it. Strategy to me was this big, complicated, horrible thing, you know, binders on a shelf that outline, you know, every possible scenario and never get referenced unless, you know, doom and gloom is about to come and you can turn to page 364 and in the event of this, do this.
Yes.
But that's not what the SSP is about. It's about, let's hone down what our real purpose is, what our real intention is, and then focus our efforts in the short term, those tactics of the tasks, to achieve the end goal of the strategy.
Yes.
For that period of time that we're working. And it
yes.
just boils it down to, this is what I have to do right now
That's
to
right.
get that result that I want later.
That result you want later, that's your purpose. So you got the purpose, you got the strategy, and you got the tactics. So it's that whole analogy around business is not just working on the right things, but it's doing the right things to achieve it. So you've got to have the right activities. That's tactics. But strategies are those tactics are focused on the right things. That's all strategy is. Because otherwise it's busy. If there is no strategy, it's busy work.
Okay. I like to say strategy is just thinking at least more than one step at a time ahead. And really, I mean, you can be busy doing that. So it takes a little bit more. And that's what the plan starts to drive out of you is, I want to get this result. And I can back up into that. I can say, well, if I want that result, I've got to do X, Y, and Z. If I want to do X, Y, and Z, I've got to do A, B, C. And you just boil it down. It's like, it's cliche.
You can't possibly keep all that in your head.
No.
When you keep it in your head, what happens? If you got all that swollen on your head, what do you end up doing?
You lose it. It's like the journey of 1,000 steps begins with the first step, right?
Right.
But if you take that first step in the wrong direction, you know, the plan gives you at least the map so you're heading toward the right 1,000 miles.
That's right. You can pick and choose. You don't drive yourself nuts. I mean, most entrepreneurs at some point, I found out when I worked with them, have generally the right idea in their mind on what they need to go do. But the problem is because it never makes it to paper. They talk themselves into it and out of it on a routine basis.
Okay.
Because it's impossible. Our minds are not capable of dealing with more than one or two, I'm not going to say complex, but one or two significant thoughts, and maybe that even really is one.
I think it is one.
How many times have you been thinking about something and going come to the nth degree and you lose track of yourself? And then you come back and try to say, well, I had it. Somebody saying, well, tell me what you were thinking about. Well, I had it there and, you know, it's more than I can tell you, but let me kind of try to summarize it. And you begin to lose it before you even get your arms around it in the first place.
It's like when I was writing the section of the book about multitasking being a myth.
Oh.
I was literally writing on the computer. A pop-up came up on the computer and I was also going to take a drink because I was thirsty at that moment. So I grabbed my drink with my right hand and I start to move it toward my mouth. And I use my left hand, which I'm right-handed, and I start to move the mouse towards the pop-up to click on it.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily I didn't spill my drink, because what I realized I was doing was a little bit of movement with the mouse, a little bit of movement with the water bottle, a little bit of movement with the mouse, a little with the water. I was doing one thing at a time in microbursts.
Yeah.
I wasn't, but if I had just focused on one thing and then did the other, I'd have been done a lot faster.
Multitasking is your next book. It's, you know, if you do a little research on Superman, you find out there's lots of different types of kryptonite. There's red, there's green, there's all these different ones. Multitasking is your next book. That's another, you know, that is another kryptonite to the entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. But we fool ourselves. It's like you're talking about, we can't keep track of these things in our head. We can't keep track of all the tasks and all the stuff we want to get done and the path to that success. And that becomes that barrier. And it's an artificial barrier because we've put it up and it's in our mind. And we can knock that one down real fast just by writing it down.
Right. So as entrepreneurs, we all know, we've read the books, we've heard the people talk, we've seen the snapshots of information that come off the internet, you know, we get all that we're supposed to plan. We hear it. you can't be successful without planning, and you're aimless without doing it, and you'll never get to where you're going. You know, it doesn't matter where you're going, because if you don't have a plan, the wind's going to blow you anywhere. I mean, you know all these things.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
So the reality of it is that we know, I think everybody, most entrepreneurs I run across acknowledge that you need to plan. The problem is that it hasn't been put on a low enough shelf that we can grab it as entrepreneurs and really act on it, because they look so complicated.
Yeah, the knowledge isn't enough. The knowledge by itself, we all know what's good for us. We know what's good for us to eat and what's bad for us to eat. And we know we need to exercise, and we know we need to plan. But that knowledge simply isn't enough. If it was, as I've learned from Rabbi Daniel Appin, mm-hmm. and reading and going through some of his stuff, he says that if the knowledge is enough, then all we need to do is do an ad campaign that tell people that cigarettes are really, really bad for you. Don't smoke them.
Right.
And that'll solve the problem, and nobody will smoke cigarettes anymore. But the knowledge itself doesn't do it.
You need wisdom. You need to apply the knowledge. And that's what the entrepreneurs, Conquering the Entrepreneur's Kryptonite, your book, is all about. It's about wisdom. How do I apply this thing that I understand I'm supposed to go do, but how do I go make it happen in a simple way? You know, it's not the end all be all, because the plan is not enough. Then you got to go execute on it. And that's where I think the whole aversion to multitasking is. It's in the tactical side. How do I spend my time?
And that can be overwhelming. I mean, just the concept of planning can be overwhelming, but then you start to actually try to do it. And I'm a certified project manager. You've done multiple projects where you had all the Microsoft project plans and
you got to orchestrate, you know, and all of that.
Critical path and all these complicated things. What I liked about the SSP is it really doesn't have to go that deep to start making progress. Now, if you start getting some complex plans with lots of teams, you're building a building, you know, you don't want to pour the foundation after you put in the windows.
Right.
So you've got to sequence things. And yes, the more
there's
money.
There's software tools to track all of that. You've got lots of moving parts, absolutely.
But for the simple, let's get off our duff and go plan. Let's outline this thing that starts at the top level with our mission, our vision, and those big strategic things that we want to accomplish, and narrow it down to the projects, goals, and tasks. And once those are written down, it's just go do it. Right. It doesn't have to be super sequenced. It doesn't have to have a full WBS structure with all the dependencies built and all the ifs and ands. And it doesn't have to get that complex. Write it down. Sequence it a little bit and have some sense of how it's going to flow.
That's right.
And then
it has to inspire
put it to
confidence.
Work.
That is the ultimate litmus test of a plan, a good plan. Does it inspire confidence for me to act? If it does, then the action steps are easy. In fact, as many of these as you've done for clients, you know that once you get past mission, vision, values, and now you get into strategy, goals, and action steps. Once you get to the strategy level, it starts to become easier to get into the goals. Because what is it that I need to achieve? What are the waypoints I need to achieve to meet the strategy? And now what are the action steps I have to make this goal happen? It actually starts to get very, very easy when you deal with the front end of that, which is the mission, vision, values of that. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? Right. And what's the outcome that I want to achieve from it? That's the real value, I think, of the SSP. And then the second piece of that is that it enables an entrepreneur to very easily tie together their strategies and goals with the greater purpose of the business. That's where the confidence comes in. And every time I've taken somebody through that process, man, you start picking up speed.
Well, everything's aligned.
Everything is aligned.
The work that you do each day fits that overall mission versus, you know, if you're willy-nilly, you know, you want to go do one thing, but why are you working on this? Because it's not going to help you accomplish that.
Yeah, imagine the confidence every day to get up and every day get up the night before you've reviewed your actions for the next day. And you wake up confident knowing that what you're going to go do is going to take you another step or two further to accomplishing your goal. Just imagine if you're out there listening to this right now as an entrepreneur, how much confidence you have knowing that what you're doing today is going to deliver to the result that you want today and tomorrow and the day after that. Your confidence soars. And your confidence in the people around you. Because, you know, once you have more than one person working in the business, you've got a team whether you like it or not. I don't know whether they're functional or not.
Even if they're vendors or relationships like that, it's not just you.
Contractors, clients, VAs, everybody. You know, you and your spouse is helping you in the business. You got a team. Imagine the confidence that occurs knowing that they are focused on the right things. And you're not having to micromanage them every day, which is another entrepreneur's kryptonite, isn't it? The fear of having to micromanage everybody.
Well, the captain of the ship shouldn't tell the chef how to scramble the eggs. No. Yeah.
Absolutely. Did I have enough eggs brought on board for the 15 days I need to be at sea?
Exactly. Exactly. You build that team, you build that confidence, and the plan helps you do that. But let's talk to another faction that might be out there listening. They may have given up listening by now, mm-hmm. but it's the people who feel like the plan is going to be too rigid. That it's going to box them in and there's no spontaneity, there's no flexibility. Because I see it exactly the opposite way. That the plan gives, and especially with the SSP, it gives you a basic framework. Let's go in this direction. Let's do these kind of things. But you're 2 weeks into it and you realize, well, this task isn't working that way, so maybe I need to do it a different way.
Yes.
Or you're behind because somebody got sick or whatever. You adjust the dates and you keep going. It's got ultimate flexibility, but it keeps you somewhat in that on that track of moving forward.
Absolutely. If you plan, I mean, the simple strategic plan is really not intended to reach out further than 3 to 6 months. I mean, and why do you need 6 months past 90 days? Because a lot of things that you want to achieve simply can't be achieved in 90 days. It takes a little bit longer. Plus, you want to make sure that the boat's moving in the right direction. But if you're only looking out, 90 to 180 days, then inherently it is flexible. One of the big reasons you don't reach out further than that in a game plan is because things change. You are learning. If you're gathering wisdom for your business and personally every single day, you learn things that was something that you didn't know yesterday or based on that information you would do differently tomorrow. So it has to stay dynamic. Now, it doesn't mean that it has to stay so dynamic that you never commit it to paper. Because if you never commit it to paper, you'll never act on it. We just talked all about that.
It's a balancing act.
It's a balancing act, but it has to be. Mm-hmm. You have to realize that a plan needs to be dynamic. It needs to be responsive, okay? And it needs to be thoughtful.
Right. But even the best of plans can't cover every contingency. And so when I was using the SSP to build the book, so I was using it to write the book and to get it published and to edit it and all those things, even though I'd outlined that process and those plans and those tasks down to what am I going to do each week, there were still things that I realized I had to do that weren't a part of my plan,
absolutely.
But they still fit. They were still like something that I knew, I've got to do this in order to get to that step on my plan. So I'd either insert it or if it was simple enough, I'd just do it.
Yes.
But it gave me that direction to get stuff accomplished. So the plan isn't the absolute. It doesn't cover everything. And it isn't so rigid that you can't adjust along the way. It's just providing the framework to get there.
The rigidity of the plan is the due date by which you want to achieve it. So whether it's, the book is ready for upload to Amazon. So it's ready for sale. Okay, you've got a rigid date there because you need to put these stakes in the ground. If not, they continue to get moved around and everything is so fluid, there's no reality to it.
Well, they never get moved forward. They always get pushed back.
Exactly. Okay. So you have to have a rigid date there. Everything between that delivery date and now is dynamic. It's flexible. There are going to be things that you thought you needed to do and you got there and you go, well, I don't really need to do that. Okay. Or there are going to be things that you realized, oh my gosh, I really do need to proofread that. And I didn't put any time in there, but I don't want to change my delivery date. So, I mean, the classical project management approach is to begin with your rigid date. This is the delivery date, and then work backwards from there. And that'll help determine your dates and also the resources needed and all of that to make it happen.
And the cost involved.
And the cost involved.
The quality. I mean, that's the theory of triple constraints. Our time, so our schedule, the deadlines. The cost, in terms of resources, in terms of money, but then the scope or the quality, how good is it going to be? What are the error rates that we can tolerate? We're building a bridge, we've got different error rates than we can have, say, if we're building a road.
Yes.
Because the road gets a pothole, the bridge collapses.
That's right. A plan has to be stretching It has to be reasonable. I mean, I think the reasonable piece of it is what a lot of people miss, because, you know, I've worked with a lot of project managers and other people and organizations, and the real comfort, I mean, we end up creating a lot of project managers who are really hyper-focused on the end result, no matter what. And they, you know, good ones we define as the ones that deliver on time, within budget, on track, and all that kind of good stuff.
Without destroying the organization and the people within.
That's the, not leaving dead bodies along exactly. the way. Reasonableness. I mean, if you have a plan that's aggressive, but it's unreasonable, what do you got?
You're destined for failure.
You don't got anything. You know, everybody's kind of falling out with it. They understand pretty quickly it's not going to happen. And you have a bunch of crazy people.
Well, and we talked about confidence. The plan needs to inspire confidence if it is unrealistic. It will not inspire confidence. It will degrade any confidence.
So how can you have a reasonable plan that inspires confidence if it's not dynamic? Because that doesn't deal with the realities of what happened. That would require every one of us to have a magic eight ball or a crystal ball or something to know the answers before we start. And I think that's another reason why people don't start planning at all. It's because they think that they have to have all the answers before they even get there. I mean, one of the aspects of planning we talked about today, you and I did, was forecasting. You know, and you've got a really dynamic, you know, empowering, powerful forecasting tool that you're putting the finishing touches on it. If you don't have a forecasting tool, which is the ability to look in advance at your results before they actually happen, if you don't have that, then you don't have a business, because you don't know where you're going from a profit perspective. The reality of it is that dynamic, if that tool isn't dynamic, if it can't ebb and flow with new things that you learn, and some of that, the forecasting is based on, you know, your history.
Well, history,
how things are really rolling out.
But also, there's a lot of assumptions in any forecasting.
You got to have both guess, of those
and those, that history feeds your wisdom and your knowledge and experience to be able to
make
a best
better
guess.
And better and better. I mean, science is dynamic. I mean, everything we learn in science needs to be applied to make another better, you know, solution to the problem they're trying to, it needs to be dynamic as you go forward. The same thing has to do with planning and forecasting, everything. So that's one of the things I think that takes a pressure, that the simple strategic plan does to take a pressure off the entrepreneur, is that this is simply the best we know of today. When we come back tomorrow and we revisit the plan, if there's some adjustments that need to be made to it that makes it better or deals with reality, that's exactly what happens.
Exactly. And the whole framework of the SSP, I love the aspect that it is simple. It's pretty straightforward. There's 9 simple steps. And when you go from a quarterly cycle,
one builds on the other.
They build on each other each quarter after another. So once you do the first one, the second one's a whole lot easier.
Oh my gosh.
You gain wisdom on what worked and what didn't. I'm constantly adjusting things in my own plans.
Because it's now strategic.
Exactly. But it's got that simplicity. But it's comprehensive enough and flexible enough to get real results. The whole aspect, I used to think that, you know, a bridge or a building or an airplane's wing needed to be as rigid as possible, you know, because you're thinking this is going to be solid, right? And then when you really learn that, you know, you're up there in the air and that wing, if it's flapping around, it's doing its job because it's not breaking off.
So is that bridge you're riding over.
And so you need that flexibility. And, you know, I'm not a mechanical engineer,
right?
So I don't have that background, but I've learned enough now to know that, hey, these things that appear solid are often
exactly.
moving quite a bit.
And if it's not flexing or dynamic, your plan, it's going to simply drive everybody working within that plan nuts. Because the reality of it is that nothing turned out exactly the way you planned it. So all these reasons why, you know, business owners, whether you've been in business for 50 years or you're just starting, resist planning, is because they think it's rigid, it's inflexible. And in fact, that's what we're doing here today, is debunking the fact that a good plan is not. A good plan is a framework. And that's what the simple strategic planning process is. It's a framework.
At the end of the day, we're trying to quantify the dream. We're trying to take it from that fog that we all kind of exist in when we're thinking about or dreaming about something, maybe it's even like our real dreams. You know, you wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. it's like, I had this crazy dream, and you start telling somebody about it, and it all falls apart as you're telling it because you can't remember it enough, and the details are so all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We can take that fog of the dream and drive it to profitability, and drive it to success, to real results, and make that dream a reality, and then move on to the next dream.
Yes.
You know, I don't have any dream that I'm like, just be completely satisfied. Oh, my life is over. I did that. I'm done. I'm going to move on to the next thing as soon as that's done, whether it's a little dream or a big dream.
Yep.
So the SSP, I love the repeatability of it. I love the simplicity of it. I love the intention. Oh, my goodness. For me, the intention has just been huge in using it in my own life, in my own business to get to where I'm at right now, which is on the cusp of something that's really, really exciting.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to make such a big difference to young and not necessarily age-wise to the entrepreneur, but young in their business, really take it from what they hope it can be to something that is sustainable. You know, that's really what it's all about, is the sustainability. I mean, anybody can have some short-term success, whether short-term is a month or a year, but how do you link it together year over year? You've got to have a plan.
Mm-hmm. It's like the NFL player. You know, the NFL player gets the big contract. They're right out of college. You know, they maybe last 3 years. If they're lucky, they last 3 years. You know, you get some exceptions that'll last 10 or 15.
And their money doesn't last much longer.
But their money, because they don't have a strategy. They've got either bad advisors or no advisors. They're typically young, so that's a strike against most of them.
Yeah,
you know, 22, 23 years old, and an injury sidelines them or whatever.
And then they start taking risks with their money, and that's the same thing. I mean, that's the same thing with this planning. I think from an entrepreneur standpoint, is that when you have the absence of a plan that gives you confidence, then you start taking much bigger risks in your business than you need to be successful. And you start to convince yourself that being successful in the business is all about rolling the dice, taking risks, and me knowing something that my competitor doesn't.
But isn't one of the biggest risks we take as entrepreneurs too not taking any risks? Those that are so risk averse,
right,
they don't take
so
any chances.
So what are you left with? You're risk averse because you don't have a plan, and you take way too big a risk because you don't have a plan. You don't take purposeful, calculated, thoughtful risk. I consider myself a thoughtful risk taker. You know, I want to take risks because I know you have to. You can't know everything before you commit yourself. And that's what a risk is.
Right.
You don't know the outcome before you take the action. I want to do it in a thoughtful and purposeful way that is a combination of data and gut and the wisdom of others. You combine that together in a thoughtful way, call it a plan. Now you've got the potential, real potential for succeeding.
Mm-hmm. And I've always been more risk averse, right? You know, just growing up, whatever my background experience, I've been very risk averse, but I'm learning over time how to be a thoughtful risk taker. I'm not just going out there and dancing in the street and hoping not to get hit by a car.
Yes.
I'm going to wait at least for the light to change
and
look both ways. But there's a risk in crossing the street because somebody could not run that red light.
Right.
But that's the wisest time to cross the street anyway.
And that's why you wrote the book, because you embraced the simple strategic plan approach. You saw the value of it. You took it forward. You see what it can be. You wrote the book because you're passionate about it. Why are you passionate about it? Because it made a difference in your life. And you're going to now share that with others as well who want the same thing in their businesses.
Yeah, well, I'm just simply seeing the results in my own life. And
it's you want proof. To share that with others.
It's absolute proof that it works. And you've got proof from your clientele.
In my life. I mean, honestly, as much as I believe in this, back in, you know, 2001, 2002, when I decided to leave my career and leave something where I'd been successful into something new, if I had not taken an approach like this and mapped it all out and begin to try to deliver month over month over month on this game plan, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have had the confidence. I surely could have inspired the confidence with my wife, with Lori, because she wanted to see it on paper. You know, and for me to show it to her on paper not only help her to gain alignment with me and me with her, but it helped give me the confidence that says in month one, in month two, in month three, when I'm not making very much and I'm not having success, if I'm hitting on those smaller results that I wanted to hit for that month, it gave me the confidence that month two, I could build on month one. In month three, if I could hit month two, I could go to month four and month five. And it gave me the confidence to progress. Otherwise, James, honestly, I don't think I would have had the confidence to continue. And I certainly wouldn't be here today promoting the value of this to anybody else.
Absolutely. Well, there's certainly no guarantee. The best planner in the world using the best tool in the world, there's still no guarantee of success. There's always a level of risk that we have to take. But building a plan increases our odds dramatically. We're not just rolling the dice. We're not just hoping and praying on a lottery ticket to come in.
Absolutely. And we get the first vestige of that in the first chapter of John in the Bible, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, was God, and the Word was God. What that meant was, in the very beginning, God had a plan for what he was going to do, even before he created us. So there was a lot of confidence in that, knowing that this whole thing that is a belief system for so many millions and billions of people around the world is based on something that was thought out before it ever was carried out. That's the example for us that we need to take forward in our business. If we can think it out before we carry it out, not only can we have the confidence, but we can inspire the confidence in others that we need to come alongside us to help with us. Otherwise, what hope have we?
Oh, it's
snake oil.
Yeah, it's absolutely comforting to know that there was a plan in place for us. You know, Jeremiah, for I know the plans
that I have for you. Yeah.
But to get that confidence for ourselves and our plan, I've got a line in the book. I said that I want more than accidental success. You know, I've been very successful.
How can you repeat that?
I've been very successful overall in my life. I can go through a list of accomplishments from becoming an Air Force officer to a successful consultant and all these different things, personal life, professional life. But unless there was some intention in there, it's not repeatable. And I have to look back and say, well, what if I had a plan? What more could I have done? How many factors greater could I have accomplished in those things in my life? So since I don't have a time machine and I can't drive 88 miles per hour and get there to go back, I've got to drive 88 miles per hour and go forward. And my DeLorean is the SSP.
Yep, there you go.
So any last thoughts, Chuck?
I just really hope people embrace this approach. Again, you're going to show them in the book and through experiences working alongside you. It really isn't that complicated. It's thoughtful. It requires discipline, you know, but the rewards are out there. And I just really hope that people will embrace the book and the help that they can get from it to understand that it could be the thing between being able to live out their dream and 3 years, 5 years, 10 from that years from now, having a legacy to leave to their family in a business. It could be the thing that is the difference between all of that happening and delivering the dream and wishful thinking and being like everybody else who either didn't have the confidence to try it at all or tried it and failed and thought, well, that was just their lot in life. You know, for you to give them this solution and show them that this could be it, this could be the antidote to their kryptonite, you know, makes it all worthwhile because that can change the world.
Absolutely. And what else is Superman about other than changing the world?
For good, exactly.
Well, thank you, Chuck. I really appreciate it. I appreciate everything, you know, for the years that you've invested into my life and sharing this program with me and then allowing me to take it. And, you know, you've used it a ton, but it was a very even simple, even ugly worksheet that you had. And I took it first and I just made it pretty and added a little instructions to it, worked with people through it. And then just decided, this needs to go out to more people. So the book came about, and somebody can read the book and actually go do it. or they can find somebody that can work through it with them, a teammate, a partner, or a coach. You know, certainly that's what we do, and we'd love to be able to work with folks to do that.
It's a blessing to see you do it.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun.
It is. And to change the world, you never know when you plant the seed out there and you help somebody. Sometimes, you know, those seeds, you know, sprout and they blossom. And this is exactly what's happening with the SSP, the book, and all the other great things I think that are going to come out of that. I think it's going to make a significant positive impact in people's lives. So yeah. I'm excited and I'm blessed to see you doing
it. I can't wait to get it on Oprah's list. You know, the trick is though, as much as I would love Oprah to talk about the book, she can't talk about it if I don't write it, if I don't publish it, if I don't get it out there.
Exactly.
And so I may never meet Oprah and she may never love my book, but at least it's ready and it's waiting for her if she ever does.
Yep. And you're making the great efforts to put it in the hands of as many people as possible, and then implement it.
Yeah. So. Well, excellence and impact are two big words for me, and I think there's an egotistical side of things, you know, where you pat yourself on the back, but I don't feel that with this. I wrote a good book with great content, great inspiration from you, and it's done with excellence from the cover to the back cover to everything in between, and so I'm really proud of that. And if it doesn't go anywhere, I'm still going to be proud of it. But I know that there's an audience out there that if they
it
just
can help
put it,
one person, it helps that one person.
It's worth
like
it.
The star on the beach. It makes a difference to them. So, you know, as a parting comment, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes over and over, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, this is nothing new under the sun. It's a new approach that we hope resonates with some people to help them overcome the thing that is between them and the business that they want. That's it.
Yeah. Don't give up. Go after those tools. Find what works for you at the end of the day, whether it's the SSP or some other planning model. Adapt it to your needs. It's a flexible thing. That's one of the things I love about it. And
exactly.
Just go for it and go do good stuff.
Take action. And if planning is the thing that is stealing your confidence to take action, then this is the book you need to read.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Chuck. I really appreciate it.
Always, brother.
Thanks for listening to the interview. Visit conqueryourkryptonite.com for additional information and resources from my book, Conquer the Entrepreneur's Kryptonite.